Hey everyone, thanks so much for checking out the show. We really appreciate it. But if you want the full experience of our show, you've got to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@D54pod. This is where you're going to find the latest deep dive discussions, the latest reactions, the latest reviews. We have long format content, we have short content, we have shorts, we have it all there. And we even have a few guests to come and join us in our conversations. So check us out. Looking forward to talking to you there.
This movie was insane. It was pretty crazy, man. A lot to talk about this movie, man. But let's start with your sort of general impressions as sort of, I would assume this is the first Malayalam movie you're definitely watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, what'd you think? One of the reasons that I was excited to join when you asked me if I wanted to be, you know, one of the additional hosts on the show was because I had known that you had talked a lot about, you know, other Indian cinema and, you know, specific cultural regions of Indian cinema. And like I said, right before we hit record, it kind of reminded me of being in film school or being like the friend who would show up and be like, man, you got to watch this French movie or like, you got to watch this Italian movie. And I knew I knew it was only a matter of time before you'd be like, man, you got to watch this movie. And I'm glad that you started me off with this one because I had to watch it over, you know, due to my schedule over the course of a couple of days. But I'm glad I did because it allowed me to sit on different moments of it and like think, oh, maybe this is what's going to happen. And maybe this is what's going to happen. Because after about the first 20 minutes or so, I was like, oh, this guy has a superpower. And his superpower is that he just references films and television shows and he knows stuff about them and he incorporates that into his life. Great. I'm all in. Yeah. And like, within those first 20 minutes, I was like, there's going to be a car chase. It's going to be nuts because he mentions like, you know, to his assistant at the cable station, like, hey, you know, it should have been done this way or it should have been the perspective should have been from here.
Yeah.
And then slowly I started to realize that it wasn't necessarily just that. It's that is a cool element of it, but it's more that he's his superpower is not a superpower. It's just that he's an extraordinarily observant person with an attention to detail always. And he utilizes that to his own benefit, to his own detriment by the time, you know, we get to the end of the film. Like he wars with himself about what he does to protect his family. But I was enthralled, especially seeing the way that the cameras moved and the way that, you know, what does the filmmaker think is important? And ultimately, it just is the story of like, what do you do to protect your family? What do you do to find your family if you think a member of your family is missing or you know a member of your family is missing? And what are the moral ambiguity areas that kind of collide in that space? And the fact that that story is universal but expressed so thoroughly and exclusively in this culture here in this very small village was like, I kept leaning in closer and closer and closer, being like, where are we going? What are we doing now? And every character has a reason to do what they're doing. It reminded me a lot of what we discussed with the Fablemans. Like everyone had some reason to do what they were doing and all of their motivations could be understood, even if they were, you know, maybe the only character who is clearly kind of bad would be Sandovan, if I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah.
Please, you know, stop me if I ever say anything terribly. I don't mean to do that. I just, you know, I'm just excited. But even he has reasons to like, he knew he saw George at one point, you know, like he knows and he did. It just was very special to me to be able to kind of break into seeing these films that aren't necessarily like the ones that are popular here in America, the obvious, you know, big one right now being RRR.
Yeah.
And understanding that if you're going to tell a small stakes story on a broad scale to whatever your audience is, and in this case, you know, being the, how do you pronounce it again?
Malayalam. Yes.
if you're going to present a story to that entire audience, which is your whole world, you know, at this point, until streaming really breaks it out and makes it so that it can be applicable to someone like me in Michigan in a basement, you want to make sure that everyone there can understand it and will be large and broad. And it felt large and broad, but also small and personal. And I was just kind of in love with it. I really fell in love with it. It was great.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm watching it, knowing full well that you recommended it to me and saying that there were remakes and stuff, like I was wondering, what is your relationship with this movie?
Yeah, this movie, like, it's interesting. Like, I think this movie is one of the movies for me that really, looking back on it now, after having watched, you know, some more recent Malayalam movies, this movie kind of defines to me what it is so great about Malayalam cinema and why it's sort of been able to achieve what it has, because it's nothing like super flashy. They tell really good stories. And so far, this is the oldest movie that we've reviewed so far. Like, we've reviewed a lot of recent stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of really good techniques that they've done in terms of editing and some really creative stories they've done with some really larger than life characters that are kind of insane. But this story kind of is so grounded and relatable in a lot of ways, right? Like, it's, and a lot of that has to do with the superstar and legend who I'm so glad, you know, got to see. This guy, Mohanlal, he is, yeah, legend is probably not even the right word. He's more of an icon in sort of cinema in general, I would say. Like, his ability to play that role that he did was so good. When you said sort of my history with this movie, I have sort of seen the remake that was made in the Bollywood version. But this was a long time ago, before I even started watching my cinema. And I'd watched Indian movies on and off, you know, at that time. But I watched that one and I really enjoyed the remake as well. But watching this one here with Mohanlal, I can see why this guy is respected so much. Because of, well, I like the one in Hindi, in Bollywood. It's good, but the actor that plays the character, George Kuchi's role in that one, Ajay Devgan, does a fantastic job. But I think of him more as like an action star. So George Kuchi, Mohanlal, in this movie, like, he was so relatable. Like, he's got good comedic aspects to him. He just seems like a regular person, right? And the stuff you mentioned, like, obviously, the whole movie references something that I think you and I can definitely, and probably people listen to this can probably understand. Like, that's where my mind goes to when people are talking about stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is like that scene from that movie, or this is like that.
I started seeing that, you know, within the first 20 minutes, I was like, oh, I wonder why Amit thinks I'd like this movie. Like, the referencing and being able to pull those things, being like, ah, it's just like this, you know, and I was so glad to find that it was more than that, because it's unquestionably that to a degree, but it is so much more broad and so much more poignant and specific than just that. It was very, very cool.
No, definitely. So what do you think about sort of the, because, like, I guess it is kind of a bit different to sort of your traditional Hollywood movies. Like, in terms of like the flow of the movie, like, they had some songs in between, which were sort of montages. Were these all sort of different to you? And even like the cultural things, like, just, you know, the settings or some of the themes that they talked about, like the parents, the concept of dowry was brought up, for instance. Is this all sort of new to you? Or what were you thinking about watching that kind of stuff?
You know, it's not that I want to toot my own horn and say that I'm familiar with a lot of stuff culturally in the world, but that it is the case, because I've watched so many movies, because I've read so many books, and because I've really, like, I've studied things, and I understand that the world is much bigger than myself in Michigan and the United States. I've always prided myself on understanding, like, okay, let me peel back the empathy layers as far as I can, when I can, when it's presented to me, right? So if someone came into my life and said, you know, this, hey, man, you should check this out, I always did, especially because stories can be so much bigger, and where things are rooted can be so much bigger, and, like, what we see in Hollywood is often borrowed from something else. So, like, way back beginning in high school, I would have ideas about things related to dowry, or, like, being in musicals when I was younger, you know, Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah. Like, these are concepts I was familiar with. But to get more specific about what it was in this movie that kind of crossed with Hollywood versus didn't cross with Hollywood, the songs weren't necessarily out of place, but there was more emphasis on the entire length of a montage of a song, right? Like, we talked about Creed, or we talked about Rocky. There, your songs are going to be 30 to 45 second, maybe a minute. Yeah. And here, a song is going to be like, it's an entire scene. Yeah. And I really appreciated that, especially in the moment where I really fell in love with this movie, was just George enjoying time with his family. Before everything really started to kind of split off. It was right as his eldest daughter was actually going to the camp, you know, like the extracurricular activity that she does. That entire montage really hit me. And the score really hit me. The only things that were really different for me are, like, you know, George is talking about how modest their house is, and he's sitting on 4 acres with like a banana yeah. plantation. You know, like that's whoa, man! Like it, yeah. you got a pretty decent amount, but you know, obviously the limitations of where you live and what yeah. you might have access to and how you might shop, all of that was drawn there. But I am somebody who will come to something with at least a passable enough familiarity that I'm not sitting there like this is so different from my life that I can't relate or I don't see myself anywhere. All I needed was 1 second of George Cooty staring at a TV and being like, they should have shot it this way. And I was like, I'm in, you know, like got it. And then yeah. from there, I fell in love with him and his family yeah. and the struggles and everything that would take place. And mm-hmm. it's different. Absolutely. It reminded me when I was in college, I want to say there was a story about a filmmaker who had gone to a Native American reservation here in the U.S. And he gave a camera to some of the people who had grown up on the reservation, and he had given a camera to some of the U.S., you know, naturalized citizens like myself that had grown yeah. up in the broader U.S. that were there, and they were going to be dying blankets. And he wanted them to film the experience just to see how different the things came out. And the Native Americans filmed more of the journey, and the Americans filmed more of the actual process. And ultimately, the stories are the same. Yeah. It's just what was in the frame versus what wasn't in the frame from one, you know, version of yeah. society versus another version of society. And what was in the frame here was familiar enough to me that I immediately clung onto it, but different enough that I started studying yeah. it in addition to just enjoying it. And I was thrilled.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way to put it, actually. It's almost as a different perspective on how you do it, right? Like the whole process and thought methodology behind how you sort of film is different just because the way it's taught, the upbringings, the influences that are in the country. That's a really good example that you sort of brought up as well. I think before we get into the movie, though, man, we're going to talk a little bit more about the man with the mustache, as you mentioned.
beautiful mustache. I was in awe of that mustache. Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. He's, yes, as I mentioned, he's one of the most respected, one of the most biggest stars in sort of the Malayalam film industry. But I'd be interested to get your take, man. Like, what did you sort of think of his versatility? I was struck by his versatility and like how well he can sort of put on different hats and be this different character. It becomes so really likable throughout this movie. Just with, I don't know, the yeah. little things he sort of did, you know? Like, obviously there's a plot behind his, you know, the family and all that stuff and how much he cares for them. But he's such a, like, I don't know, he feels like he's a nice person and sometimes he's very relatable. He has a sense of humor about him, but he's also very serious at the times he has to be and methodical sometimes at the times he has to be as well. What do you think about him, man? Like, he's a huge star.
I mean, to sum it up, he seemed very much like Anthony Hopkins to me, and Anthony Hopkins specifically in The Mask of Zorro, which is a criminally underrated film. you know, a lot of people enjoy that film, but I don't know if they necessarily enjoy it for the Anthony Hopkins of it all, where he in that movie plays a young man, he plays a charming man, he plays a demure man, he plays a meek man, he plays a funny man, like.
Yeah.
Everything about Anthony Hopkins's career is in that film. And I felt the same thing about the portrayal of George Cooty here, yeah. where he could be funny, he could be charming, he could be serious, he could be demure, he could be meek, he could tell his family, like, I'm going to get beat by the police now. It's going to be okay. Or he could tell his family, like, hey, we're going to go do this fun thing. Or I was, you know, the scene where he's talking about with his wife, you know, where they're going to get intimate for the night because some movie got him a little riled up, yeah, you know, yeah. Like just so much of relatability and also exploded circumstance that was effortlessly conveyed. And I told you right before we started recording, his eyes were immediately engaging. So, yeah, the scene of him watching the movie and, you know, recalling that stuff a little bit later on was great and really pulled me in even further. But the way the movie opens and we see the new policeman arriving in town and he goes into the station and he sees George and you just see his eyes. You just see his eyes. Yeah. There's no dialogue whatsoever.
No.
And the way that he's able to effortlessly communicate that something happened in the way that the movie starts off, you were led to believe that he's caught, some massive thing happened, and that he is now sitting in that jail because he's about to serve some time. And you just are like thoroughly brought into his journey just as a relation of the way that he looks at the camera.
Yeah.
And you only get that from years of experience and being able to effortlessly convey something. So I was, I mean, he got me. I get him.
No,
I get it. Right. You're telling me he's the biggest one? Yeah, of course.
No, he's fantastic. You're right. That's a really good point about his eyes. Like, he's really, the expressions that he can make of just, you know, just through his facial expressions, he can change exactly, and you know exactly what's going on in his mind. What kind of mood he's in. He's sort of really, in this movie, at least from what I saw, really good at that. Like, you can get a really good gauge as to what he's feeling, what the situation is, just through his looks, you know, and it's all very subtle. It's nothing too over the top. He's not doing really huge things. But everything there is all in the subtlety where you're just like, okay, wow. You don't even, you sort of, it's almost subconscious at some level, which you sort of see. You don't actually understand why it's so effective, but then you see him doing all these little changes in his face. It's effective. So he's definitely one we're going to keep our eye on, because he's one of the biggest stars to do it. So we'll definitely watch more of his stuff. But I think, yeah, let's get into this movie, man. I think I'm going to start a little bit with the start. And you mentioned it a little bit, about how this movie starts off and takes its time to really, you know, explore the family aspect of it. I actually really like that about this movie. And it does it much better than the Bollywood version. The Bollywood version almost jumps straight into it, from what I feel. So it's a different tone altogether. But this movie, and I think it's got a lot to do with Mohanlal, because he can pull off that character where he can just be that sort of really sort of family man and have a lot of fun with what he's doing and play comedy as well at the same time. So I think it's got a lot to do with him. But did you enjoy it? Because it took a while to get into it. It was almost like 40, 50 minutes, you know, to just start the movie. Like, anything really happens.
Yeah, but the magic trick of this movie is giving you that first shot.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Yes.
You spend so much time on that bus. I mean, minutes and minutes and minutes. Ooh. Like, in Hollywood, it would have been like a decade worth of time, right? You spend so much time on that bus. And then you follow this character who you are certain is going to be the main character. I was certain he was going to be the main character. And it isn't until he gets to the police station and you meet George that you understand, oh, we're going in a different direction. So after that, I kind of regeared, you know, I just took that timeline and was like, all right, everything's going to take a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Which I'm always all in for, so long as it's in service of the story. And all of that setup that takes place in that first, you know, half hour or 40 minutes until the main event of the film that changes what is actually occurring occurs. We learn about the family. We learn about the town. We learn about everyone else who lives there. We learn about the police. We learn so much that we care.
Yeah.
We know who we don't care for. We know who we do care for. We know why we care about them. And I was in love with that, because if you're going to then have an inciting incident, you immediately care about any other character. So they could even then just exist in a frame and deliver one line of dialogue, and you can make a decision about how they delivered that, because we've already spent so much time with them. I just thought it was brilliant. And it's like we were talking about the differences between this and a Hollywood film, they sort of just blended into the same thing. It was very effectively made. It was very economically made, you know, like much of the smaller budget or independent cinema here. It spent so much time with the characters that the inciting incident doesn't matter as much as, okay, here was the blip, and now we're on this side of it dealing with the ramifications. Awesome. Slower paced? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everything served the story.
Definitely. No, I really like the, you mentioned like every character served a purpose before, and that's exactly what this movie did so well. Like, you're sort of, you know, there are scenes where you just spend time with, like, I think it's like one scene in particular, which is a bit further on, but like the daughter's being interviewed by like the cops herself, you know, that's her scene, like, you know, and sort of they've built up her even storyline before that a little bit, and you get to know her a little bit, how she is, how vulnerable she is and what she's done. You know, you sort of understand the situation very well because of those early scenes and how much you don't want to see that family get broken. despite the fact it does this thing, right? Because they have technically committed murder, you know, and that's where the moral ambiguity comes into it as well. But like, you could definitely say like, why should you be supporting these characters after they've done such a hideous thing? You know, but because of this build up in the start, you're on their side from the start. Like, Dos Kuti, you're with him, you're with the whole family, with the actress and the mother, you're with her as well. You're like, wow, you understand everyone's sort of situation and how vulnerable they are and how bad things can be. You don't want them emotionally to sort of go through any sort of turmoil at all. So that's what I think the first part of this movie does so well. It gets you in. And also, it's just so engaging and entertaining. Like, it's almost like when the second half comes, the twist happens, it's almost like a tone shift for the movie.
Yeah.
It becomes much more serious, but the first half is just enjoyable. Like, it's just, you know, there's good comedy elements. I enjoy watching dissecting film. Learning about some of his issues and his relationship, even like he's an orphan and like, you know, how much his father-in-law and mother-in-law mean to him, you know, like they treat him like a son. So
he only passed the fourth grade.
Yeah. You know, They mentioned that a few times.
We hammer that detail home a lot, but I think like, what you're talking about reminds me about like the fact that all of it matters by the third act.
Yeah.
All of it is paid off in dividends by the time we hit the third act. So by the time we get to, and you know, spoilers for a movie that came out in 2013. but I suppose if you were like me and you haven't watched this movie yet, pause this and go watch it.
Correct.
Anyway, the hotel manager,
yes.
You know, the guy who's always like, you haven't paid and you haven't paid and you haven't paid, but you should pay me. And you know, what Correct. Are we making today? And everyone comes to my hotel. Like the, we spend so much time with him and we spend so much time with everyone because everyone is going to assist in George's alibi that he creates. And it was so smart and so effortless. Oh, and then the fact that not only do we have all of these alibis that are being laid out and all of them can be, you know, spelled out in explicit detail. And then the IG effortlessly dismantles it.
Yeah.
crumbles it to the ground. And then you find out there was another layer behind the alibi. And it, like, it just the snake eating its own tail, the Ouroboros of it all. And the smartness of it was why they constantly hit on that, like, he never passed the fourth grade. He never passed the fourth grade. And I was like, he's always saying, you know, like, you get your hands in the dirt. You can learn more than what you can learn in school and yada, yada. And it personally, that spoke to me because I've always believed, like, you don't just learn because you went to university or college. You don't just learn because you went to school. You learn because you want to. You learn about the things you're passionate about. You learn about the things you love. And you apply those things to other things in your life, right? Like, we apply movie quotes and movie references to other things in our lives. And guess what? It works, right? Like, it's still learning. Mm-hmm. So he's entirely correct. And I really enjoyed that it's like it's seeded so effortlessly in that first act and you don't realize what's happening because it plays more like a sitcom.
It does.
You know, like it would be seen here in America, you know, like a 40-minute episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, almost like Everybody Loves George Cooney. And by the time we get to the twist and then we unravel what has happened there and we get to the third act, all of it pays off so seamlessly and effortlessly because then the hotel manager is this big of a role where in the beginning of the movie, he was this big of a role. Right. And it was just like mind blowing how much effort it must have taken to make all of that seem like it was nothing, then completely abandon it for the second act and then bring it all back in the third act. And it means the most in the world. Brilliant.
The thing I also loved is like with George Cooney, like you mentioned, like, you know, with it, you know, there's 100 times he sort of, you know, drops out of the fourth grade and all that stuff. And I think he even mentions like, you know, the comedy aspects, like, you know, I'm a fourth grade dropout, you're a 12th grade dropout, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I felt like, okay, this is obviously a big point in this movie. But he never comes across as somebody that has a chip on his shoulder, always like trying to prove himself like that, right? He's just...
Only to the wife in just the scenes where they're like ribbing each other.
That's right. But like to the cops, he doesn't feel insecure about that fact at all. Like, he is who he is. Like, he's accepted it. And I love that because I think the traditional method would have been to make him like, you know, I got to chip on my shoulder. I got to prove everyone to the world that I am better than this. And that's what you would probably do, what you would expect at some time. But they sort of subvert that and be like, no, that's not actually what this movie's about at all. This is just a regular Joe, who's, you know, extremely clever, despite his education upbringing, the stuff you also mentioned, and can act very, has a lot of street smarts, I guess. You know, when something happens, he can adapt very quickly and what he has to do. They do a lot of really good stuff. I really think the first hour or however long it is so important to this movie, because that, you know, while I think I remember this movie probably for all the twists and turns, which we can get into now, and how crazy that sort of is, and sort of you sort of alluded to it before, but like that's what I remember more, and especially the twist at the end, which is, yeah, insane. But before that, all this build up is so important, and I think it's so well done. But yeah, man, what do you sort of think about, to talk a little bit more about sort of, you know, the twists and turns? I really like the term you use, the snake eating its own tail kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
what was the experience of just watching that? Because I had sort of, for me, it's kind of strange because I already sort of knew what was going to happen because I'd seen the remake. But this was done a little bit differently. So how was the experience of watching it for the first time and just going through the whole process of being like, what is going on? What is he doing here?
So the twist for me came not necessarily in the inciting incident, because I kind of I saw it happening.
Yeah,
it,
right.
I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. It got teed up pretty easily when the daughter was explaining, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go to this extracurricular activity it'll be fine. And then they were like, well, what about somebody taking pictures of you? And, you know, what about somebody trying to take advantage of you? And she's like, oh, don't worry, it won't happen. I was like, that's going to happen. and of course it does. But the thing that got me most. So I saw the inciting incident happen. I knew that Varun was going to come back, and I knew that he was going to do something later on at night. I didn't know that he was necessarily going to try to, you know, have his way with the daughter and then have his way with the mother, you know, in order to, you know, twist that off. But what hit me like a ton of bricks was the fact that the movie allows itself to play out like he did do it. So you don't find out that they killed him until after George arrives and sees his family, and he's screaming at them like, tell me what happened, tell me what happened, tell me what happened. And you pay so much attention to like the threads of stuff like that George had made decisions about that day where he couldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And you as, especially as a father or as a man with a wife, you're like, oh my God, how could you not see that something like this might happen? Like, how could you not have been there? And when he walks through that door and you see the mom holding the two kids and he's just screaming that stuff, and you're like, you think the worst had happened and that Varun got away with it. At least I did.
Yeah.
You know, for 5-10 minutes. And then when we find out what happened, I was of course like, all right, that makes sense. Like, just from the amount of stories I've taken in over the years, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. The twist for me was absolutely the reveal of that scene kind of working in reverse. And then George's methods for beginning to protect his family and starting to concoct the alibis was like, whoa, especially when it's revealed how much length he went to, what great lengths he went to make it all work out. The ultimate reveal being that he had gone to those places again and was like, remember, I was here on this day. Remember, I was here on this day. Remember, I was here on this day. That's when I was here. I was here on this day. And like getting the DVD of the church sermon and all of that stuff. Like that's what really hit me, because that's when it kind of becomes the Sherlock Holmes or the Knives Out, you know, Daniel Craig, Glass Onion of it all. The like the detective mystery, but kind of in reverse. Like we had said, you know, each character in the movie has positive and negative aspects to them, and that's where it started to really work out. And of course we're on George and his family's side, but as you're watching the IG and her husband search for their son, you're also kind of on their side. And it isn't until Sandoval starts going a little bit you know, too whole hog with the thrashing that you were like, all right, you know, they're complicit in this. But the twists and turns as related to that, like what length do you go? That's what really hit me and what really surprised me, because as a screenwriter and as a director, you have to do two things simultaneously. You have to be clever enough to think of an idea, and you have to make it look effortless in the camera lens. And it did both of those things extraordinarily well.
Yeah. No, this is very well put. Exactly. I really enjoyed that's out of two. And you're exactly right. Like, it would take a lot of effort to put this kind of movie together and make it seem so seamless where you can't really pick any holes in it or anything like that. Like, maybe technically there might be some if you really think about it. But honestly, like, just watching it, I did not at any time be like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Or wait, why would that be like that? And like, it was so good because the IG was also such a smart person and, you know, a good sort of foe, I guess, you know, against George Cooty, because she could just break this whole thing apart and be like,
she dismantled it immediately.
Yeah, this is something. But like, everyone has a sense of like, something's not right here. This is something fishy. You know, there's a sense of this. And, you know, because the feud that, again, at the start, they did a good job with the, sort of the evil cop. Sandevan? I can't remember his name. But
I think it was Sandevan.
Yeah, Sandevan.
Something like that. I would say let's call him Sandy, but let's not call him Sandy. It's Sandevan.
Sandevan, they did a great job of making him just, you know, he's not a good cop, right? So his word is not trustworthy. But he's the only person that actually has the, you know, the exact evidence that's right there. But because he's not trustworthy, you just can't see it. And you see him just get more and more crazy as you go. But yeah, so I really did enjoy that whole, you know, going through that journey. As you said, it's like, you know, this is step one. We're going to go there. Step two, I'm going to go back there. And I'm going to plant this in your head that you're basically going to think that all this stuff happened on this date. You're not going to remember it. I'm going to tell you it. But it was absolutely fantastic. It was such a great ride, to be honest.
Brilliant.
Like, I almost forget about the whole moral implication because I'm just enjoying that ride so much. You know? But yeah, it was...
Well, that was for me the coolest thing about it, because, like, you could absolutely watch this movie and just be like, all right, George does it. He saves the day.
Yeah.
But that entirely discounts from the fact that the IG and her husband lost their son. Correct. And it isn't until the one scene where they have their son's friend show up give a little bit of testimony, which is like gut-wrenching. And they did a pretty good job of showcasing, especially with the husband's character. He always was on the side of being like, look, something isn't right here, and it might be something to do with us.
Yes.
You know, he was always the more moral center of that couple. And I really appreciated that. Is, you know, because he's also the guy that's like, we spoiled our kid, you know, how much money did you let him spend last month, you know? And the fact that it kind of plays out where they're always certain and they're certain and they're certain and they're like, they're about to just make this family pay regardless of what actually happened. And then it isn't, you know, at that moment, the friend comes in and is like, okay, this is what actually happened. And, you know, a friend who is that terrified and has no idea what has actually occurred would absolutely tell the truth, because he'd be like, am I in trouble? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And that again felt extraordinarily real. Just like, no, this is what we did. And I didn't, you know, really mean anything by it. Of course, he didn't know what his friend was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I hesitate to say innocent enough, you know, just like sticking a camera in a box and putting it in a shower, but that is not like, that's been done in movies. Mm-hmm. That is a tale, unfortunately, as old as time. That's true.
Yeah.
That stuff happens. It's shitty, but it's real. The shittier version that Varun took on after that is not, and the friend didn't know that. So again, that like that just seems real.
Definitely.
You would tell the truth at that point.
Correct.
And then the infrastructural and like kind of earth-shattering shift that you see in the IG's face and her husband's face, it's like it constantly for me was just doing one of these, like, who's more in the right? And it's only really because of the Sandevan character being in the employ of the IG and being utilized by the IG that you stay more in the camp of George.
Yeah.
Or for me.
Anyway. No, yeah, same. No, he really tilts that edge because, I was going to ask you about what he felt about those scenes were done so well. Like, you know, it was hard to watch, but that beatdown that he's putting on and like, man, there's that sense of like tension. When like he's beating up everybody, and it's like I think it's a frame where it's just him, and you see in like the background this youngest daughter just there shaking, and you're like, no, you're not gonna do this. You are not.
When his head turns.
Oh my god, I was like, you are not gonna hit that little girl. This is gonna go too far, man. You gotta stop this. This is getting crazy. This is out of hand. And like, that's so well, because you just see George Cooty taking the beating, and you see his wife taking the beating, and you're like, wow, this is so much commitment to this, and like. I just think it's just so well done because you're just like on the edge the whole time, and you just, you're feeling so bad because you're seeing what he's doing as a monster. The relationship between the husband and wife, I thought, was fantastic. But she is like, you know, I mean, the IG and the IG's parent, the IG and his husband. Those two, because like you mentioned, like he's very much, you know, moral compass. Like, you know, yes, there's something wrong and I want my son back, but this is too far. Like, you are abusing people now at this point, you know? And then she's like, because she's just a cop, right? She's a hard-ass cop. Like, you know, she's like, I don't give a crap. This is what has to be done. Find out where my son is. I'm not going to stop at any cost. You know, so that contrast was just a subtle thing, but I thought just so well that it just helped to carry this movie, you know, give it a bit more sort of layers. And be like, all right, so you two, that's your relationship. And this is a relationship between George Kuti and his wife. And you see that in comparison. A lot of things they're sort of playing at. But yeah, man, what do you think about...
No. You finish.
I was going to say, I'm going to ask you about sort of the reveal at the end, sort of the climax scene, when sort of the daughters sort of... I also love that because George Kuti has to play this game of like, you know, he has to tell them only so much because he wants to protect them. That itself is so well done. It's like, you're a protector, but being protected doesn't always mean just, you know, putting yourself out there and planning and stuff like that. It's actually putting yourself in a position you don't want to be in, because that secret's going to live with him. You know, he's not going to tell anybody. He can't. And that's a kind of a sad thing to be in, right? If you have this deep, dark secret that the person you want to share with is the people you love, his family, and he can't. And that's sort of the pain he has to go through. But yeah, man, what do you sort of think about that whole, I mean, that ending climax where they sort of, you know, the body or the not the body? Oh man, that's...
Well, there were three spots there. And so like I was talking about the inciting incident, right? So Varun's murder or manslaughter, I think is how it would be classified. Because it was an accident, right? Like, she didn't mean to kill him. She was just trying to destroy the phone, which it was also kind of wild to like watching this movie. And like, oh yeah, 2013, there was no cloud in 2013. So yeah, if you destroy the phone, you actually destroy the video. Like, whoa, like how far we've come in 10 years. Kind of nuts.
Yep.
But there, so it started with the daughter telling the truth, right? Okay. So the daughter being like, yeah, we did kill him and he's over there. And you can see it kind of in George's eyes, like he knew it was going to happen. Yep. And he never betrays that to his family, but he knew it was going to happen, which means he knew his daughter was going to get hit at some point, because of course they've set up, you know, his foil, his nemesis cop to be that level of kind of gunning for him that it's going to happen. So you know it's going to happen. So he knew that at a certain point, because every single time when the police leave, they're like, are they coming back? Yes, they're going to come back. Why are they going to come back? I know why. And it just keeps happening and rolling in and rolling in. And he's always, it's not that he's one step ahead. It's just that he's absolutely certain of the process.
Yeah.
He knows what's going to happen. And he also knows that his family doesn't know what's going to happen. So like you said, he's trying to keep them protected by not letting them know how much terrible stuff is going to come their way. So he has to allow that to happen to his daughter for the eventual payoff to occur. It's terrible. But when they got to the house and they started digging in the area and they like, they filmed it so well with the slow motion of the men digging and like putting their hands over the noses. And like, you know, something is wrong. And George even grabs her and you think that he might be trying to run with her. And like the cleverest part was when he told his brother-in-law to call the news when they were headed into the police station so that the news station is there, so that by the time they dig up what is not Varun's body, but is in fact the body of a dead cow, that everyone with a camera there is filming that. And then George immediately bum rushes them, knowing full well that that was going to happen. And is like, and this guy beat me and he beat my daughter and he did all, and he just causes this chaos and immediately gets public opinion on his side. It was like, this clever son of a bitch. Like, it's just, but again, you're watching it hit at the same time that Varun's parents are like certain they're going to see the dead body of their son, and then they don't. So as a father now, I'm just sitting there like, oh, that's, oh man, that's clever. But like the look on the faces of the parents, gut-wrenching, like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So that hit. And then there's the moment where George is talking to the IG, who has now relinquished her post is going to go now live in the U.S. with her husband, with some of their family over there. And they ask George, who, you know, comes out to meet them, should we hold on to hope? Mm-hmm. And I thought for certain, I even told you this, I thought for certain he was going to say, like, there's always hope, or just some stoic line like that. But he doesn't. He tells them, like, we were a family protecting ourselves and we did what we did. Mm-hmm. And that that shocked me. That really shocked me. But it isn't until you see his eyes and you see him crying that you're like, he warred with it that much. Because his wife and he have that conversation right before he goes to see the IG where she's like, didn't we do something terrible? Shouldn't they have closure?
Yeah.
Which kind of informs that. And then the ultimate thing at the very end, when he's talking with the new police officer, that it's like, it's only a matter of time before we find the body. And the scene that you watched earlier, you know, where he was getting the garage repaved, and you're like, and they even show you that scene again, and you're like, oh, he put the body in there. And then they remind you of the conversation where the guy doing the flooring tells him, we have to do the police station first. And you were like, I legit sat up in my chair and got so close to the screen that I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, it's all, every moment of it was hidden in plain sight throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And it was so cleverly put together and portrayed so effortlessly and genuinely that you just, at that last moment, you're like, okay, well done, movie.
No, it's the way they shot all the scenes are fantastic, and it's like, I think, like, so the whole mystery for me was like, after they don't find the body, I was also like, okay, sort of, where is the body? That's like one mystery, like, you know, where is it? And I love how they wait to the very, very end. It's like the last frame, they basically show you what's happened, and you're like, wait, no way, is that what happened? The audacity to bury the body under the police station, to me,
that was nuts.
I remember seeing it even in the other remake, and I was like, no way, you can't do this. Like, he had sort of, I love that he had just sort of, you know, his attention to detail throughout this movie. Like, he picked up on the whole thing from the very start, right? As you said, right in front of us, like right in plain sight, they knew that there was a new thing, a new sort of police station being built. So it sort of teased every now and then with construction happening and things like that. So you know it's there, but you don't think about it until the end where you're like, wow. Because who would think that he's buried the body under the police station? You just think it's in a bag somewhere and he's kept it hidden. But to do that is just like next level. but you're right about the other part as well. How he sort of has that speech with the meeting, with the confrontation with the IG and her husband. And you sort of see, again, that relationship's played out so well, because I don't think the IG says anything. In the whole interaction, she's just completely silent because she's almost defeated. You know, she's like, you beat me, you know, this. And she also has a few lines like about, you know, he's a fourth standard dropout, so we, you know, there's no way we can be beaten by him and stuff like that. So she's almost had her ego damaged and everything is just destroyed as, on top of the grief that she's having. So very well done by the husband there to carry that entire scene. But you just see it and you're just like, you know, there is a sense of mystery, but they kind of know what's happened. And it's just like, heartbreaking at the same time. And yeah, you see George Kuti at the end having to sort of shoulder that pain. I just think it's fantastic. The whole ending and the whole, you know, how, where they leave you is in such a crazy place. You're like, you're shocked, you're emotional, but you're also like relieved in a way for the family. It's like the perfect kind of ending. You're just like, wow, this is really been, yeah, you've really hit it out of the park with this ending. It's been absolutely fantastic. But yeah, man, I think it's part of the better endings. It's one that, even when I watched it before, it's one that stuck with me. So it's such, it might have been the shock factor for me, the biggest thing that sticks out. Just the whole thing, like, the body is in the police station. And you're never going to be able to find it. Was, like, how crazy is that?
For me, it, the only, like, contemporary other version of it that I can really compare it to, just, I thought of it just now. Was in Harry Potter when they have Mad-Eye Moody, you know, like the other person was Mad-Eye Moody the whole time, or Barty Crouch Jr. And then you find out that he was like under the school the entire time. Right. Like, but it's not the same, you know, but it was kind of a similar thing where you're like, whoa, whoa, definitely. Wait a minute. Like, and you're so endeared throughout the entire film, and you're so certain, like the movie left me so certain that it was going to be one thing at one point, and that it was so certain that it was doing something else at another point, and so certain that we were going over here, and then ultimately you realize, again, all of it was just a snake eating its own tail. And from the very first frame, we had all the clues that we needed about what had actually happened. And then we just needed the rest of the context of the movie to get us to where, you know, the movie eventually ends, which is where it starts. And I love an in medias res story like that. I've always loved a story like that. And so many of the best throughout history are told that way, right? So we're going to give you C, and then we'll give you A, and then we'll give you B.
Right.
And it just really, like you were saying, just masterful performances kind of around the board. Everybody seemed like they really knew what they were doing. Everything was shot really well and efficiently. Oh, yeah. It just really felt like somebody had a phenomenal idea for a story. Yeah. And then they surrounded themselves with the best possible locations. Like, everything was gorgeous too. It was just absolutely beautiful. Like, the interiors of the bus were really cool too. Like, it just, all of it was in service to George exists within this community with his family. And if something was going to happen to his family, he's going to do everything that is necessary to make that community feel exactly the way that it had previously for as long as he can.
Yeah.
Right. Cause he's not going to be able to do that forever, but if he can do it now, he will. And I was just, I was so pleasantly not surprised, because if it was a recommendation from you, then obviously it was going to be good, but I was pleasantly enthralled.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're right. It does have a lot of, I mean, every aspect of the movie is so strong, as you mentioned. Like, one, performance is ridiculously good, right? We already talked about Mohanlal, but everyone around him as well all sort of bought it. There was, you know, everybody had, even some of the side characters, like the restaurant owner and the projectionist, like, they all have these small little roles to play, but they all sort of make an impact on the overall picture. And sort of no one sort of brings it in sort of halfway. Yeah, Dax, it sounds like we're pretty big fans of this movie. Lots to sort of like about this, and that, I mean, there's a reason why this movie has been remade in like 5 different languages. I think there's a potential Hollywood remake coming up from one of the comments I read.
Yeah, I was going
to. Yeah.
I literally would be shocked if there wasn't, because it felt, I was trying to think about other contemporary versions of it that might exist. Like, it kind of seemed a little Mystic River, kind of seemed a little Departed, but it was still very much its own thing. And I honestly wouldn't love a Hollywood remake of it, with the exception of if they brought, like, if there was an Indian American family that was going through something similar in a community of mostly Indian American people. Like, I could absolutely see that working, but the cultural specificity of it being in India and the landscape, not to say that we don't have really cool landscapes here in the US, right? We've got a large variety of them, but I feel like that informed so much of it, like the banana plants and the rain, and just when you peel back and you get a little bit broader with a shot, like, seeing that there, it really informs a lot more about it, right? Like, and if you were going to try to make this story in 2023 as opposed to 2013, it might be a little bit more difficult, if for no other reason than the fact that we have the cloud. So you would have to, like, it's like Home Alone. You can't make Home Alone now.
No, that's right.
Like, you can't just, you know, like, you can't destroy a SIM card and just get away with it, you know? Like, it's
definitely right.
It would be a little bit different. So I think it's not necessarily like a time capsule of a movie, but there are conventions built into the story that are based largely around the technology that we had at the time.
Correct.
And I say, just leave it lie, Hollywood.
Yeah, like,
if you can find a really clever way to do it, great. And I would watch it. But this stands as an incredible film. No, I loved it.
I think if they were to do a Hollywood version of this, they should definitely consider getting at least some of the writers or the producers or directors, someone that's involved closely with the originals. Obviously, I don't think you get the same actors, but you should probably get a lot of the sort of the same people that were involved in the conception of this movie, potentially. But yeah, man, if we got a D scale, what would you give this, man, on the D scale? Where does this sit?
Oh, we're absolutely at a dynamite here. Yeah. For sure. This is, it's just, The only reason I wouldn't go full dope is just because at certain points it does kind of lean into some of the conventions that are largely available in other Hollywood films, or not necessarily Hollywood, but like story tropes in general. So like the fact that I was able to kind of pick out some of the elements, but it just, like, I would say dynamite dope. Like, we're going that way. You know, yes, the more I sit on it, the more I enjoy it, the more I love the experience of it. And it just, there's nothing about this movie that makes it exclusionary for anyone to enjoy. Just toss on subtitles and go along for the ride.
Yeah.
You will be taken in by it. If you're a fan of movies, you're going to like this movie. Full stop.
No, I definitely agree. I'm on the same kind of boat. It's probably, that dynamite dope kind of area, which is like a high dynamite, I guess. It is like, this is probably one of the more commercial movies from Malayalam cinema. So it definitely has a lot of, the stuff you mentioned is exactly right. There are a lot of familiar sort of patterns. But at the same time, it's so creative as well. So it's kind of in the both, like, you know, we've sort of seen some of these things, but the way they executed this was completely unique. So yeah, but I mean, it is definitely one of my more favorite movies, and I think, you know, we're definitely going to be back for a second one, because this is only part one. Time you've only seen the first part of this. There's a second part coming. I'm not even coming.
I know when you mentioned that there was a sequel, I was like, what could you potentially do with a sequel? I don't know, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, the sequel. I'm sure that's going to do a lot more crazy stuff. Because he's still, you know, they can still go after him, right? Because there's a lot of reasons. But yeah, let's definitely look into the second one. I'm definitely on same as you about a dynamite dope kind of thing. And yeah, this has been an absolute pleasure, Doug. I really am glad we got to do this movie. It's a great starting point, I think, for Malayalam cinema.
I really look forward to more.
Yeah. Give a warm welcome to Doug if you listen to this. He's new to this show, but new to the I guess the Malayalam movies. So yeah, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, happy to be a newbie here.
But no, you had some amazing insights. So like always,